Trigger warning. The following episode contains references to gore, animal cruelty, human suffering, death, factual inaccuracies, several entitled people making light of all these things. If any of the aforementioned topics cause you discomfort, you may want to listen to a different episode.
It's time to take off the pants of childhood and put on the painful gloves of adulthood. I'm Andy.
Something, something, monkey with stinky elbows. I'm Adam.
Jesus may be willing to take the wheel, but don't count on him for anti-venom. I'm Kelly.
If I've learned anything today, it's that if you see a beautiful shell, run screaming in the other direction. I'm Sean, and this is Acid Pop. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. Today, we're going to be talking about Venom.
We are Venom!
Yeah. Say, the Spider-Man movie's coming out. We gotta get out in front of it.
Yep.
Venom comes from Latin. Venenum.
Yes. Venenum.
Yeah, I think they use the same word for an enemy. Yeah.
Which, interestingly enough, this comes from Venus, the goddess of love.
Not the planet.
Well, both. In Latin, venenum was a charm or love potion, and I have no idea how it got from love potion to toxin, but there you go.
Well, her love magic was not always nice,
so
maybe it was just the negative association there.
As with pretty much all love magics.
See, it's not nice to make someone love so much they'd rather love them than eat.
No, well, you're going to lose a lot of weight, so.
That's important.
I'm not going to go into the science of Venom here much, because most of it is going to be revealed in our Acid Pop quiz.
So. Hurts.
Sometimes.
Give me the answers.
So, true or false? Komodo dragons are venomous.
False.
False. I feel like false. This might be a trick question, though.
So this is true. So it has long been believed that Komodo dragons had nasty bacteria living in their mouths. And these bacteria, when they bit something, would cause the whatever they bit to go septic, and that was what would kill them.
That's what I believed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I still believe it.
Well, it turns out that this info came from one observational study published in 1981.
Damn it, science!
Stop it!
So recent studies have not only found that their mouths are surprisingly clean, especially considering they frequently eat dead animals.
Yeah, they brush
so clean
twice
you
a day.
Can eat off it.
But also that they have venom glands. So they're one of a very short list of lizards that have venom.
Really let me down, science.
Yeah, the other one being Gila Monster?
That's one of them.
Yep, Gila Monster is one of them.
I think there's only like two others besides Komodo Dragon.
Yeah, it's a very short list. True or false, venoms are toxic.
I feel like this is another trick question.
What is the definition of toxic?
That's the question.
Yes, true. It's true. Britney Spears wouldn't sing about it if it wasn't.
I think they can be either.
I'm going to think poisons are toxic and maybe venoms aren't. So I'm going to say false.
So we have a yes, a no, and a both.
Well, Andy's right and Adam's half right.
Yay!
Venoms are toxic. A toxin is basically a harmful chemical, so both poisons and venoms are toxic.
Yes, and that's why you do your oil pulling to get those toxins out of there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's true.
Juice cleanse.
True or false? There is a venomous primate.
Oh, I want it to be true.
I do want it to be true. But if it is true, I'll be scared.
I'm going to say true and just hope for the best.
It's man.
Ah! I bit my tongue! If a snake bit its own tongue, would it die?
I don't know.
I'm all wrong right now, but I'm still going to say false.
Yeah, I've never heard of one, but why would he bring it up unless there was one? So true.
To mess with you.
So this is true. So you know how when people get super specific to set a world record, like they eat the most Twinkies in a minute while driving a double-decker bus backwards. That's sort of what the slow loris did. This is it's a little monkey guy. It's kind of like halfway between an eye and like a monkey.
But basically, they have a chemical in their saliva that's an irritant to human skin, sort of like a cat. And they also have a stink gland, kind of like a skunk, but it's in their elbow. So when threatened, they quickly and awkwardly suck at the stink gland and then bite the threat. And the combination of these two chemicals makes a mild venom.
They just get really awkward with people.
This gets them into the record books as the only venomous primate. And crazy. To date, only one person has died from a slow loris attack.
Yeah, come on down to the zoo.
It's believed that they had an allergic reaction.
Check out our monkeys with their stinky elbows.
Yeah, Adam, would you like to see our venomous stink apes?
You've heard of the cold shoulder. Now get ready for the stinky elbow. So true or false, there is a venomous bird.
Pretty sure that's true.
I've been saying true a lot, so I'm just going to say false.
That's how it works on tests.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to remember my research from the birds episode. There's poisonous birds.
Yeah.
I don't remember any venomous birds, so I'm going to say false.
This is false. As far as I could tell, there are no venomous birds, though, as Kelly mentioned, there are poisonous birds. So true or false, sucking venom out of a wound is an effective method to decrease its effects.
That seems really false.
It's false.
I've been told not to do that, so I'm going to say false.
Yeah, this one is definitely false. So blood flows at about 3 feet per second, so there's no practical really way to stop the venom from working through your system.
Only suck the venom out of a wound if you like the taste.
Yeah.
I do the exact opposite, and I start blowing into the wound to make the venom go around and shoot back out.
The trick is you have to make another cut, like, farther down the vein, and then, like, head it off at the pass.
Yeah.
How many seconds has it been?
We'll have to go straight for the heart. Give me a bendy straw.
So we're on to our fill-in-the-blank. What percentage of people stung by the cone snail die?
100%.
Yeah, I was going to say 100.
Yeah, I thought those were super, super deadly. I'm going to say 95%.
You guys were a little high. So there are several thousand species of cone snail, and they range in size from 1 inch to 9 inches, or 2.5 to 22.5 centimeters.
That's a big snail.
Yeah, it can be.
Bite your head off, man.
They eat everything from worms to fish using venomous barbed teeth. They have very alluring shells, and the ones that hunt fish are especially venomous. This variety kills 65% of hapless shell collectors that they sting, and there's currently no anti-venom.
Well, it's their fault for being so alluring.
Well, the thing about this is, which no one came right out and said, but I sort of got the impression that, like, if you manage to survive getting out of the water, odds are you're going to be fine. And if you don't, then there's no way anyone could have gotten anti-venom to you fast enough. So there's not really any point in getting anti-venom for this.
If you don't make it out of the water, at least all we lost was a shell collector.
No great loss in society.
So Greening's frog is the first discovered venomous frog. How does it get its toxin into its victims?
Is this one of those freaky frogs that, like, does the Wolverine thing.
That one is pretty crazy.
I bet that's it. Yeah, he breaks his bones and it, like, the poisonous outer coating goes on there and he stabs you.
Yeah, he has poisonous marrow.
That's my answer. Wolverine frog.
I mean, I'm pretty sure they've discovered a frog with fangs, but it's probably not the venomous one.
Yeah, that's the vampire frog.
Sure.
I'm going to say it has little spurs on its foot.
Hmm.
It's probably does something really weird, like,
frog just shot its eyeball into my mouth.
Rubs its butt on people. Maybe it has claws. Maybe it just has regular claws.
Yeah. Well, you guys are sort of getting close. It does have spines, and the spines have toxic glands at their bases, but the spines are actually on its head.
It's got a little mohawk of venom.
Well, no, actually, its head kind of looks like a mace. Like, it's just spiky all over. But you can't really see
this. What's the name of this frog?
It's called Greening's frog. It doesn't look spiky. It's kind of weird, but the spikes are, like, just under the skin. So it looks like a normal frog, but if you, like, squeeze it at all, then the spines poke through and stab into you.
That's nefarious.
Yeah, it's a bit.
Well, yeah, but it's also, you know, if you're squeezing the frog's head, you probably have it coming.
I was just wrestling the frog.
So this next one's a bit of a long one here, but the Maue people of Brazil have what may be the most intense manhood ritual in the world. In order to be considered a man and part of the tribe, young men have to don gloves with bullet ants sewn into them and wear them for 5 minutes. The bullet ant is so named because its powerful neurotoxin is comparable to the pain of a gunshot. The pain is so intense, it often causes hallucinations that can last for up to 24 hours. What's more, the initiates have to endure this more than once. How many times do they have to put on these gloves in order to be considered part of the tribe?
Well, you can't just wear one glove. You have to at least put on two.
Yeah. One for every year that they've lived.
Oh, man.
Happy birthday.
When you're like two.
Ten.
I'm going to go, let's say 28.
I'm not buying their accessories.
The correct answer is 20.
Wow.
20 times you have to wear these gloves for 5 minutes apiece.
I just want to be a little boy and have fun.
Consecutive days or?
No. Some people, it takes them years to get through this.
I'm 80 and I'm not yet a man.
I'm cool with it. Peter Pan my shit up.
So we're on to our terms. So there are basically three different types of venom, and I just want you to identify what each one of them does. So what do neurotoxins do?
They attack the nervous system.
Yeah, that all sounds correct.
Yeah. Yep, you got it. These venoms affect the nervous system. This comes from Greek neuron, meaning nerve or sinew. And they do several different things. Some overload it, while some inhibit it. But the end result is that your nerves just don't really work anymore. And this usually kills you by paralyzing your diaphragm, which means you can't breathe, which means you can't live.
Yeah. I don't need air anyway.
I don't
Let's
like
Let's test that,
anymore.
Andy.
Well, there's air right now.
I wasn't inhaling the air. I was making a protest inhale.
So what do hemotoxins do?
That attacks your blood.
Yeah, it's in your blood. Probably clots it up real good. Makes it mushy so it can't go right.
I think it might destroy blood vessels so they can't like transport oxygen.
I could see it doing the opposite too and just making you bleed a lot.
Yeah, so yeah, these do affect your blood, and this comes from Greek hemo, which means blood, and these either affect your body's ability to create blood clots, or they just destroy the blood outright. These venoms suck because they work slowly, and they're not usually very painful. You just might suddenly start to bleed out of your eyes, nose, and mouth. And rest assured, if you're bleeding out your eyes and nose from a snake bite, then you're definitely bleeding out of your internal organs, too.
I thought
he was
going to
say butt. Probably
call
a doctor at that point.
Probably the butt, too, Andy.
So with some snakes, like the North American pit vipers, people who have been bitten by them have to have blood tests for weeks after being bit to make sure that they're still okay.
That sounds like a nuisance. I'm one and done.
Yeah.
I got time for that.
What do cytotoxins do?
They attack the site of your health.
They make you not feel good.
I'm just going to go for organs. I mean, we've hit nerves and blood.
Well, I think it just destroys cells in general.
Oh, yeah, Adam got it. Cytotoxins just wreck shit up wherever they go. So this comes from Greek kutos, meaning vessel. Which is kind of weird, but that's like a pot, not like a blood vessel. And it seems sort of random, but honeycombs were called kutos, which honeycombs were later called cells. And that was where the original name for cells came from, was comparing them to beehive cells. So,
well, honeycomb good. Yeah.
So yeah, these venoms just start to destroy. The flesh around the bite just starts to die off. And while these venoms spread around the body less, they hurt like a son of a bitch wherever they are.
Does like a brown recluse have this sort of thing?
Yeah, a brown recluse has cytotoxins. So what does aposematism mean?
That comes after the matism.
Yeah, after the prematism.
Postmatism.
No T.
That's...
A-P-O-S-E.
Apose. Apose, Matisse.
I don't know. I don't recognize any root words.
Well, it attacks your fat. Adipose.
this isn't a toxin, by the way. This is just a word.
The word attacks your fat.
Belittles you. That's a teenage spider.
I hear like something like mesmerism. This is some sort of toxin that I guess we already decided this doesn't have to necessarily be a toxin, but it just makes you do weird stuff.
Oh, you have to do the snake's bidding.
Yeah. Cluck like a chicken.
Now, aposematism is when an animal is brightly colored to warn other things not to screw with them. So that's just the technical term for brightly colored animals.
You're really fun, nature. Like, sometimes you give us really nice warnings, and sometimes, like, look at that brown snake. Ah!
Sometimes your frogs have spikes hidden in their head.
Look at this nice little, ah!
So what is a toxungen? That's fun to say. Toxungen.
It's the toxic level of the dungeon map.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You go ice world, fire world, poison world.
Mm-hmm. I hate toxic the poison world.
A toxungen is a venomous onion. Oh, don't eat that. That's one of them toxungens.
I don't know. It's some sort
this
of...
This quiz is distressing, Adam.
Yeah. I mean, that last word you said, I guarantee you that was a question on one of the tests that I've taken before.
It might not have been. It's actually a very new word.
I mean, we covered that exact topic, even if they didn't use the word.
In fact, Sean just made it up.
Damn it. Shaking me my very foundation. I don't know. Some sort of acidic sea cucumber.
That's always what you default to, Adam.
One of these days it's going to be right.
So toxungen, previously there was poisons and there were venoms, but they've made a new category called toxungens. And basically, poisons are ingested, venoms are injected, and toxungens are absorbed through the skin.
What?
Yep.
I didn't know we had an all-new venom.
Yeah, that's the thing.
If you rub it on like lotion.
As far as I can tell, this came from a scientific paper in 2017, so it's a pretty new thing.
Yeah.
Well, we did need a word for that.
Yeah.
I guess so.
And that concludes our acid pop quiz.
I think it's confusing, though. Like, don't touch that frog. It's... Toxungent.
Toxungent.
That'd be an easier way.
Oh, I love toxungenous crabs.
You probably shouldn't.
Just don't touch them.
My tongue goes all numb.
So we're on to our stories. First, we're going to talk about the Brazilian wandering spider.
It lost its home.
This is in Guinness Book of World Records as the world's deadliest spider. So this little guy is about 2 inches long or 5 centimeters long, but if you include the legs, it can be 6 inches or 15 centimeters.
I don't know pretty if I'd use the term little guy at that point.
I guess that's pretty big.
Hey, little guy.
So these guys have a nasty bite, and they have a threat display like something out of a horror movie. They rear up and spread out their front legs like a fan and flex their fangs in and out. Though, really, they do this in the hopes that they won't have to bite.
They flash their tattoos.
These are also called banana spiders, and they have a bad habit of hiding in bunches of bananas and being shipped all over the world.
Oh, good.
So in 2011, in Bechkok, Germany, an employee was unpacking some bananas when something brown and hairy dropped out and scurried under a shelf. He was curious.
A bear. A mogwai.
He was curious as to what it was, so he whipped out his cell phone and searched for what he saw. When he came across an image of the wandering spider, he's like, oh yeah, that's it. So the store was immediately evacuated, and a team of police and local entomologists arrived, and they began to slowly and carefully comb the store looking for the perpetrator.
I feel like the cops probably weren't trained for that.
Guns out, shooting at anything that moves.
4 tiny handcuffs. Just guns ablaze.
There's a spider in here!
So they had no luck, and the store was gassed with insecticide.
Oh, hey!
Burned it to the ground.
The store was immediately euthanized.
So afterwards, the very jumpy employees went back to work, but a corpse was never found. And as we
know,
comics and TVs, if there's no body, that thing isn't dead.
The end? Question mark?
Yeah. Oh, the question mark is all webbed up.
It's a clue.
That's good.
It's called foreshadowing, kids. So in the early 1900s, the Black Widow was suspected of having quite deadly venom. But how could you be sure? Science, that's how.
It already let me down once today, though.
So enter Dr. Alan Walker Blair from the University of Alabama. On November 12, 1933, Dr. Blair took a black widow in some forceps and applied it liberally to his finger.
Applied the fangs liberally.
He then chronicled his adventure. That is to say, until he could no longer hold a pen, and then he had an assistant monitor him.
Black widow, applied directly to the forehead.
So here's some choice quotes from his experiment. 11.05 a.m. Dull aching pain was present in left axilla. The whole arm had a dull ache, slightly numb feeling.
12.01. Dying now.
12 p.m. Aching pains were present in muscle of neck. There was a feeling of general malaise.
Ah, bleh.
So 12.30, and from here on, we're from the assistant's point of view. Severe aching was present in the lumbar region, abdomen, and chest, with a feeling of constriction in the latter. Speech was difficult and jerky.
He called me names.
Be strong, rise above it.
12.37 p.m. There was agonizing pain in the lumbar region, abdomen, and chest. The abdomen was rigid, board-like. At this point, they took him to the hospital.
Good idea.
You didn't start this experiment at the hospital?
Yeah, that seems like bad foresight.
5.25 p.m. A red streak extending up the back of the left hand. 8.15 a.m. the next morning.
The transformation is upon him.
On the occasion, the patient stated that he became so upset mentally that he was afraid if firm control was not exercised, he would go insane.
Wow.
8 p.m. the next day. The patient's condition was much improved. He had drunk large quantities of orange juice all day and perspired freely.
We don't know where he got it.
So after 36 hours, he was through the worst of it, and he managed to pull through. Initially, he had not only wondered if they were venomous, but if they were, was it possible to build up an immunity?
Or if the spider even had the balls to do it.
But after this first experiment, he said no thanks to the second part of his experiment.
I've scienced enough for one lifetime.
Feel like he could have done it to the assistant.
Yeah. It's like, you want this doctorate or don't you?
You're an unpaid intern, aren't you?
So Arslan Valiev was a Russian man who worked as a zookeeper. In 2017, he thought his wife was cheating on him, so he beat her until she had a concussion. She promptly divorced him.
Not sure what this has to do with venom.
We'll get to it. So Valiev felt so guilty that he started doing everything he could to win her back. In a moment of desperation, he live broadcasted on YouTube and said that he could not live without her. He reached off screen and came back holding a black mamba.
Oh, dear.
Okay.
I mean, that candy is probably bad if it's gone black.
He then let the snake bite him on the finger, and then, with tears in his eyes, he implored his audience to contact his wife. So it appears that he had not intended for this to be fatal, as he had anti-venom on the kitchen table.
Because he was a manipulative bastard who was trying to hurt her still.
But yeah. After his creepy stalker broadcast, he got up to walk over to the table and promptly collapsed to the floor dead.
So fast as I thought.
And she said, oh, that was so sad.
What a loss. Can I sell that anti-venom?
She didn't see it, and no one that was watching called his ex, and only one person that was watching called an ambulance for him.
They were like, You know what? Maybe not.
Way to not surprise me, internet.
And I'll point out that he had hundreds of thousands of subscribers. So the ambulance did get there, but he ended up dying.
Well, yeah, he did that thing from the snake did the 10-point thing where his heart exploded when he watched when he walked 10 feet.
Yep. Should have scooted that table a little bit closer.
Or at least have it on the table right next to you.
Yeah, why wouldn't it just be within arm's reach?
You don't want people to see you taking it.
Yeah. So in the King James Bible, Mark 16:18, there's a line that reads, "They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them." Now, there's a lot of metaphors in the Bible, but some people don't really see things that way, including Pastor Jamie Coots of a small Pentecostal church in Middlesboro, Kentucky.
His name is actually Coots?
Yep, this is Pastor Coots.
I'm Jamie Coots.
Come on down.
So at this church, waving rattlesnakes around is a common event during sermons and has been for four generations.
No.
Maybe I'm just old-fashioned.
You may think this is a stupid and dangerous idea, and you'd be right.
Keep going with that gut instinct.
In fact, that's why the practice of sermon snake handling has been outlawed in most states. But Coots didn't really care about that. He didn't care that his dad, the previous pastor, had died of a snake bite.
Or totally lack of unrelated. Faith, depending on how you look at it.
What did his dad die of?
Didn't get that far back.
Because I have a guess.
Now, you say this is illegal. What if, like, I'm going to give a sermon and there just happens to be, like, a rattlesnake that, like, laid down where I usually put my Bible?
Don't want to disturb the snake.
I mean, you reach in to grab your Bible and you pull out a snake just on accident. That's not my fault.
Well, then they bring in those entomologists and cops again to shoot up the place.
Why would they bring in entomologists for a snake thing?
I don't know. They hang out with the cops.
We've dealt with something like this before, I think. What are we doing here? What is that creature?
Am I to believe that these entomologists only
they specialized,
know
Andy.
It has no legs. When you get farther in college, you'll realize this.
Sometimes to gain some knowledge, you have to lose some knowledge.
I don't know what bug that is.
Dog?
So he also didn't care that a member of his own congregation had been killed in 1995 by a snake bite. He didn't care that he personally had been bitten 9 times by rattlesnakes.
9 times?
And he clearly didn't care when he was bitten again on February 17th, 2014. We know he didn't care because the ambulance that was called to his church arrived to find that he had decided to walk home.
Somebody's been bit, quote, no rush.
They rushed to his house to find him unconscious, but his wife refused to let them treat him.
Yes, yes.
Don't worry, God's got this one.
Let the faith flow through you.
The paramedics nervously skulked away, but about a half an hour later, they thought they'd better try and decide to go back and talk some sense into Coot's wife.
They'll be back, and in greater numbers.
But when they arrived, Coots was dead.
When they arrived, she was standing at the door with life insurance. I almost called it death insurance. The life insurance man.
And that was the tragic end of Pastor Coots.
Is it tragic?
The end that nobody could have seen coming.
And that was the last of the stories that I had. Anybody have any personal stories on venomous encounters?
Surprisingly, I have a couple.
Yeah.
My grandfather was bitten by a brown recluse on his ranch.
No, yeah.
I had an uncle who was bit on the knuckles by a brown recluse.
Where on the body is the ranch?
Just below the pasture.
Yeah, I have a friend of the family who was bit on her shin, and she still has a super nasty scar.
Being my grandfather, he just let it go for a while until my dad saw that there was, like, a hole developing in his leg.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, my uncle, he had to get, like, skin from his back grafted onto his knuckles, but it wasn't... Like, the skin back there wasn't the same color, and it had more hair. That was years ago. Maybe it's melded in.
And just recently, one of my uncles was bit by a rattlesnake.
Oh, yeah?
Well, he was moving around rocks.
Yeah. I was gonna say, how many people here have almost been bitten by rattlesnakes?
Only out by your house.
Twice.
Yeah, once for me.
I had a close call once.
Yeah.
Where I was taking the... we had the recycle bins, the little green and yellow ones, and we kept them in the backyard. And I carried one out to the front yard, and I went back for the second one. And when I dropped the second one off, a rattlesnake came out of the first one. I had just carried it chest level from the backyard.
That's pretty close.
That's pretty close.
I've had two, but the more interesting of the two was I was probably maybe 12, and we lived in this big apartment complex where all the kids sort of ran around in a pack, and me being weird and so forth, I just sort of kept to myself. But my stepbrother and the rest of the kids were all running around in a pack, and I was walking along the edge of this hill, picking up rocks, looking for snails. I didn't find any snails, but I did find a baby rattlesnake.
Oh, those are the worst.
Which struck at me and missed. And my little 12-year-old self was like, well, I can't scream or say what happened because there's a pack of kids right across the street and they're all going to run over here and poke it.
That's not a bad instinct.
I got up and walked across and I grabbed my stepbrother and I was like, just keep everyone here. And
be cool.
Didn't explain why, and I went upstairs.
Act like there's not a snake around.
Huh?
What?
I went upstairs to where my parents were in our apartment and immediately dissolved into hysterics because this is how I just deal with stressful situations.
I mean, you say that, but I felt like you dealt with that pretty well.
Well, I panic after it's done.
Yeah, that's fine.
And my stepdad went out and killed it. But that was my closest call. I also almost sat on an adult rattlesnake once. Same hill.
Same rattlesnake.
It was sort of funny because like that was 2 years. I think we lived at that apartment complex 3 years. And for 2 years, I was the barometer for when you were no longer allowed on that hill. When for the summer, when the rattlesnakes were out and in force. And so I would get struck at, and then they would be like, no, don't
Kelly
go
almost
up there
got bit again, so we're going to have to cut off the hill.
Shut it down.
Was it June already?
Ruining everyone's fun.
Was that in Reno?
No, that was in the Sacramento area, El Dorado Hills.
There was one time we'd go out to Sean's house and walk in the desert. He had a lot of desert to walk in.
I do have a lot of desert.
Pretty much all of it.
And I'm walking around with Sean, and all of a sudden Sean goes, do you hear that? We should probably turn around. And I was like, what is he? He's like, rattlesnake?
Yeah, I was out of my mom's house. She has this big square of property, and you know, you come up to the corner of the square, and then you go across the front, and then there's a road that goes up the middle of the square to the house. So when I was a kid and I would get dropped off at the bus station a little ways away, I wouldn't do that 90 degree turn. I'd save myself some time and just cut across the desert in the middle off the roads. And I did that until one day I was walking across there and I stepped around a bush and there was a rattle like right next to my foot. And so I turn and look and there is a coiled rattlesnake about 6 inches from my leg.
Was it the worst kind?
Yeah. And I turned back and I thought to myself, now, they say when you encounter a rattlesnake that you should very calmly move away. And then I said, fuck that. And I just took off running as fast as I could go.
Goodbye.
And after that, I stuck to the roads.
I'm just going to take a moment, though, to come to the defense of rattlesnakes. I know a lot of people are afraid of them. But as far as venomous snakes go, they seem incredibly polite.
Well, like, they've spent a lot of time and energy, like, evolving a warning for people so they don't have to bite.
Yeah. Like, excuse me, could you just take 3 large steps back? I mean, I appreciate that in a snake.
I'm feeling very distressed right now.
And it's not like it's very polite of them. It's not like the sacrifice of the humble bee who, if it stings you, gets to die.
Sure. Yeah. Sweet release.
The closest I've ever been to being bitten by something, though, is we had an automatic garage door when I was a kid. And it had one of those lasers across the bottom, so it would, like, if something cut it while it was going down, it would go back up.
Mm-hmm. You jump over the lasers to get out the door while the garage door is closing.
That's exactly what you do.
Everyone knows this.
Except that one day I did that, and there was a black widow hanging from the door and bumped against my head. To which I started doing that dance that you do when you think something's on you.
Oh, black widows hate that dance.
That scares them away every time. Just recently, I went out to feed the horses, and as I was coming back inside that morning, I felt a pain on my foot. I was wearing sandals at the time, and I looked down, and I saw something kind of stuck underneath my sandal and between the sandal and my toe. And as I got a closer look, that gave the big red harvester ant just enough time to bite and sting me. And I remember I got stung by them quite a few times as a kid, but we didn't have the internet back then. So this is the only time I was able to, like, research it while it was happening.
Yeah.
Apparently, they rate a 3 on the Schmidt Pain Index out of 4.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And they're thought to have the most toxic venom of any insect.
Oh, geez.
How's that for you?
It's like 20 times more toxic than a bee sting.
Wow.
Adam sat down and started chronicling this with his assistant.
I did. It hurts for up to or around 4 hours. And Schmidt himself, he used a lot of weird, like, descriptors when he was getting stung by everything.
Well, yeah, he'd call things like peppery.
I often suspected that he had synesthesia.
Yeah, his description of it at the time was it's like drilling into your foot to get rid of the hangnail and only to find the drill like stuck in your toe hours later or something like that. It reminded me of an article I read in an anthropology class I took last semester, where it was Southern California Native Americans as a sort of like spiritual thing. They would wet down an eagle feather and stick a bunch of these red ants to them and then swallow it.
Wow.
And they would do that a bunch. I think it was like 50 feathers, maybe.
One eagle's worth.
It was the brave and the shaman or something. And like it was the shaman's job to say, do you want another? And if the man was very brave, he would always say yes.
So you're going to blink first, shaman, I guarantee it.
Eventually you'd go into sort of a stupor. And then it was the shaman's job to say, okay, I need to go get something, and wander off and like hide for a minute and then come up behind you and spook you. And this would send you into a trance. And you would be in this like hallucinatory coma for most of a day. And you'd get like spirit guides and stuff.
I found your red harvester ant thing here, Adam.
Oh, yeah.
Bold and unrelenting. Somebody is using a drill to excavate your ingrown toenail.
Bold.
I've had a lot of encounters with stuff. I got at my mom's house. She's got this big barn thing and it's made of sheet metal, and there's like an outer layer of sheet metal and an inner layer of sheet metal, and they didn't build it with any insulation, but now it's got plenty because that space in between is pretty much packed wall to wall with black widow spiders.
Sure.
And yeah, when
you can't buy that kind of insulation
out of my mom's house, they're just sort of a regular thing. You just run into them all the time. I actually like black widows because they very, very rarely bite people unless you really agitate them.
Well, that's what I've been saying recently. Like, I don't think I've ever had a problem with a black widow.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
They stay in their neighborhood.
Scorpions, yeah. Which will chase you.
Yeah, when I lived in Arizona, I had many close encounters with scorpions. The closest one was I had one on my naked foot. And I just sort of like felt a tickle, and it was sort of like, you know, oh, it must be like my hair's waving or something. And so I just sort of like reflexively kicked my foot a little bit, but I saw a little thing go, wee.
Oh, no.
I was like, what was that? And I go and look, and it was a little scorpion running across my foot.
Dang.
Yeah, Kelly encountered a centipede once.
Oh, yeah.
Those are quite venomous.
This was such a, like a movie moment, because I was in the shower. And I turned, and out of a crack in the wall, this enormous yellow centipede comes out. And I'm in the shower. I'm completely vulnerable. So I do exactly what you'd expect in a movie. I jump out of the shower screaming.
Yeah. Anything you're doing in the bathroom is probably when your flight response is the highest.
And it crawls back into the crack in the wall.
Yes, luckily Kelly's girlish scream banished it.
And I had to finish my shower because my hair was full of soap. I was like, I have to get back in there. And also I got things to do. The next day and the next day.
Just put some duct tape over it, sweetie.
And probably my silliest venom encounter was the first time I ever got stung by a bee. I was at the beach, and I was just drinking a soda. And you know, sodas at the bottom, they have that sort of like dome in the base that I'm not sure what that's for. Well, a bee was on my leg, and I didn't see it. And so I put the soda down on my leg, and I just captured a bee in that little dome.
Great.
And I didn't know, but it was freaking out in there. And it gave it a long time. Like, it was probably stuck in that little bowl for like 2 minutes before it was finally like, okay, well, I gave it all I could. And then it just stung me in the leg.
Now I must die.
That's how I feel like the ant in my sandal was the other day. Like, yeah. I feel like it was probably stuck in there for quite a while. Are plants venomous?
Yes. Yeah, so like the gimpy is venomous because it injects you with something.
Okay. I ran into a stinging nettles once on accident.
Oh, yeah.
They look very innocuous. And I had seen one in a book once. So, like, I was, I don't know, picking through some stuff. And I'm like, that looks kind of like a, oh, God.
No.
And, like, I had just brushed my hand up against the leaf. And my knuckles turned white for, like, 30 minutes.
Oh.
It felt like getting electrocuted.
Jeez.
Those were all over the place when we were in England, and anyway. I still have no idea what they look like, but our friends we were with were like, don't touch that, don't touch that, don't walk in that direction.
Don't talk to him.
Yes.
I mean, I've been stung by bees once because I stepped on one.
Yeah.
And the other one was like, I was in the sandbox at school during the fall.
That's a big mistake.
Well, a bee, like, it flew up the back of my coat, stung me on the back, so I go to the nurse's office.
What a jerk.
Well, and we had just been learning about bees. So I was like, teacher, I got stung by a bee. She brings me in front of the class. She goes, C-class, this is why you don't mess with bees. And I was like, I didn't mess with him.
It was on my back. What do you want me to do?
Jerk.
Let this boy be a reminder. The folly of man.
All right. Well, if nobody has any more personal stories, then we're going to move on to what are your morals worth?
I don't like pain.
Yeah.
I'm not putting on one of those gloves.
Nope. I'm not going to ask you to do that. Instead, we're going to go back to...
Age of the Dinosaurs.
The Black Mamba.
We're going to go back to Dr. Blair.
Medicine so man.
How much would I have to pay you to be stung by a black widow?
A lot.
I mean, I didn't think I knew it was bad. I didn't know it was that bad until you read the description.
Is anti-venom prepared?
There is no anti-venom. And I will tell you that 1 in 20 people that are bit by a black widow die.
I do not like those odds.
$500,000.
I will also say that is it's very uncommon for someone of our age to die. It's usually the elderly or the very young that die from black widow bites.
Take that, elderly.
Do I get to keep the black widow?
Sure.
That would be kind of neat, I guess.
I'm going $500,000. It sounds like an agony.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
That seems too low to me.
It usually does.
Pain.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm hurt. Not crazy about that part.
But at the end of it, you have a black widow and $500,000.
Okay.
Ready for a night on the town, black widow?
I'm going to need medical treatment, and medical treatment is expensive. Is that covered, or do I have to cover it with my winnings?
You won't need medical treatment.
He did?
No, he didn't.
He went to the doctor. You said they took him to the doctor.
I said he took it. We went to the hospital, but nothing happened. They just kept him in a room.
They didn't give him.
I don't get any sort of treatment?
Nope. You're doing this just like Dr. Blair.
Don't even get to chew on some willow bark or something?
Nope. He went to the hospital, I think, in case he went into cardiac arrest.
Not saying I need your help. This is just in case.
Yeah. So, no. You get nothing.
Ugh. I don't know, Andy. I think 500,000 might be too low.
Nah, that's what I just said. Right.
What about 500,001?
Perfect.
$1 to tip the Black Widow.
Now the odds are in my favor, Spider.
$2 million.
$2 million, ooh. Huh?
I have a family to think about.
That's true. You have a lot more to live for these days.
Well, I am probably, again, arrogantly confident that this is not going to kill me. It's just going to hurt a lot. But if you said I could take a year off of work by being in excruciating pain for 36 hours, I'd probably take you up on that.
Oh, man.
So
I guess.
Round up, call it $100,000. Sure. I do that for $100,000.
Okay, you get one candy bar.
No, the genie lied to me. What is 100 deers doing here? I don't know. Like, I've been sick for a couple days in a stretch before, and that was very miserable.
Yeah.
Like, I never want to do that again.
I've done 46 hours of labor, and yeah, excruciating pain that never ends. Not fun.
Yeah. I'll go with Andy. Just say 500,000. That seems that seems like the low end of what
that's
I would
basically
want.
Basically 10 years off or a house.
Yeah.
And a great story.
Yeah.
Some dipshit paid me $500,000 to get bit by a spider.
Turns out it was just a wolf spider.
All I did was have the feeling in my face for the rest of my life.
All right. Well, I think that's all we've got for this week. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. Thanks to my co-hosts, and thank you so much for tuning in today. If you would like more information about today's episode, check out our website at acidpoppodcast.podbean.com. You can also find us on Twitter at acidpoppodcast and contact us at acidpoppodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us all the stars you can. Stay safe out there, and we'll see you next week. Is there a way to, turn Adam down just a hair, like he did you?
We just want to hear a little less of Adam.
That's fine. That's fine. I'll just quit talking.
Oh, yeah. That's good right there. Adam, you're doing perfect. Just keep doing what you're doing. Great. Keep it up.
You're going to get such a silence.